and all that. Even one of my friends is like, don't you ever come to my house dressed up as a woman. I'm like, oh, it's your birthday. I'm going to show up at the door and say, happy birthday, honey chow. So then I'm going to dress up as Bernice. I'm going to come to your door with a cake. He's like, you better not. I'll shoot you.
This motherfucker don't shower. Oh, I do. I'm just not very good at it.
When this thing started, I knew we'd have some guests, and we did have some guests. We had a former All-American kicker on the show. We have a professional stand-up comedian who just came on the show. But now we have one of our first ever favorite YouTubers who now is suddenly kind of coming back from the dead and is back to making YouTube videos. Ladies and gentlemen, the floor is yours. Mr. Booger Boy Meister's in the building. Booger, how you doing?
I'm doing just good. Thank you for having me on here, guys. I hope y'all are doing well and having a boogerific day today. Oh boy, good to be back.
You know, in total redneck fashion, too, you would know right off the bat that this video does not have just that, right? Does not have video, which is totally tragic, because if there was a man, if there was a guest made for video, it would be this guest right here, Trey.
Yeah. Yeah, no question. Booger, I'm excited to have you on, and, you know, I'm excited to go through your entire YouTube history and things like that.
You know, people probably miss hearing Booger give these kind of takes on horror movies. I know that this was one of mine and Trey's favorite things to do when we were, you know, 12 years old, and we're now both in our mid to late 20s. Boog, it kind of seems like you're back on the scene in YouTube. Can people kind of find your videos a little bit occasionally now again?
Oh, yeah. I came back, you know, after a long delay. You know, I was going to come back in 2020, but, you know, COVID happened. And then a lot of other bad things happened. Big Mama passed away from cancer. And I was like, it's just not a good time to come back. And I waited for the right moment. And last year, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to surprise everybody and come back and go on YouTube. And I think a lot of people were pretty surprised. They didn't see it coming. Because I know I said, I'm like, I'm done. But, you know, the fans really wanted me back. And, you know, I loved all the, you know, support I got and the messages. And, you know, everyone saying, you know, please come back one day. It would make my life if you came back. So I said, you know what? I'm going to go back. They really want me back. And it's been a while. And, you know, they're doing a lot of reboots of horror movies and everything. I said, well, how about we do a Booger Boy Meister reboot?
What I liked of you and what I really enjoyed going back to your YouTube channel in preparation for this podcast was your old school, like, DVD and VHS collection videos. Like, there's something so nostalgic about those kind of videos, because you don't see those anymore. Just somebody with a single camera going over every single VHS and DVD they have.
Oh, yeah. You know, there's guys on YouTube like Wet Movie One, Cool Duder, and Movie Buff One, where they kind of talk about their movies. But I think me and Cool Duder and Wet Movie One, we were kind of like the ones at the beginning. Kind of started doing it, you know, showing our movies and everything. And now it's like you can't even find movies in the store. You got to order everything on Amazon or eBay, or, you know, hopefully you can find it somewhere used. Because even, like, I was at Target like a couple of weeks ago, and they stopped selling movies, and Walmart has like one little bitty section now, and that's it. Like, dang, like, can't even find DVDs no more.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious to get to know a little bit more about the man behind Booger Boy Meister. Obviously, you're into movies, you're into Hollywood, and you're into, you know, creating personas and characters and things. Where did that passion for, you know, creating characters, movies, and Hollywood, where did that kind of form for you?
Well, you know, this is my normal voice now. I'm putting on that redneck voice for you there. But I just, you know, as a kid, I'd always go around the house and do voices. And then I just started, you know, said, you know, one day I said, well, you know, maybe I'll just make a YouTube channel and start doing voices. I think the first guy I ever saw on YouTube was Mr. Pregnant. I don't know if you ever saw him. He was the funny guy that had the pot on his head. He's like, it's me, Mr. Pregnant, Mr. Pregnant, snackish now. You know, really funny.
And I'm like, you know, I think I'll go on there and do some voices and just try to, you know, entertain people and see if they like it. And I honestly, I was surprised at how many people enjoyed the videos. So I was like, I don't think anybody's going to like this, you know, crazy stuff where I just put in the Bubba teeth and go, how y'all doing today? Play Bugamon Monster here. Just, you know, stuff like that. And I just, you know, a lot of my characters are based off real people too, which is kind of funny. A lot of people don't know that, but they're kind of loosely based on real people.
Yeah, I want to get into that. And first of all, I want to say for some of your fans, when you turned off that that redneck voice, you know, some of them don't even know that you have a real voice. Some people think that that was your real voice.
I've over the years, I've gotten messages saying, "You stupid redneck, you're so stupid." I'm like, they don't even know that's just a put on voice. Kind of like, you know, like Larry the Cable Guy. If you've ever seen him like out of character, you wouldn't know it was him. It's like,
yeah,
his voice is put on.
But as a man who's like, you know, so into this kind of gimmicky thing in Hollywood and portraying characters, doesn't that kind of make you feel good that people believe in your character and are believing in your bit so much?
Oh, yeah. And it's funny because some people act like some of these characters I do, they act like they're real people. I'll get messages on like Instagram and, you know, my Facebook fan page and people like, can I talk to Melvin and see how Melvin's doing? I'm like, you really want to talk to Melvin? So I'll play along and be like, okay, well, let me get Melvin. Hang on a second. Hey, buddy, how's it going? It's me, Melvin, there. How you doing? You know, stuff like that. And they get a kick out of it. I don't know why, but they do.
And then, so you mentioned that some of these characters are based off of real people. Who are some of the characters that are based off of real people, and who are they based off of?
Well, you know, the puppet character I do, Melvin, he's based off a guy I knew named Paul. I used to ride the bus with him, and he was so funny. He would be like, buddy, how you doing today, buddy? He's like, you be good today, buddy. You don't be good, you in big trouble, buddy. You just like his voice. I heard it like every day. And I'm like, you know, I can make a character out of this. It's just really funny. Then I don't know if you remember my my paranoid Peter character. I did some videos with him years ago, and I'm like, my name is Peter. I'm very, very paranoid today. He's based off a real guy who was a paranoid schizophrenic. And the poor guy, he was a very, very creepy guy. So that character is kind of like basically loose off this guy I knew named Chase. And I got all kind of crazy stories about him, but we'd be here for 100 years. And the Bubba Lumpkin, he's just like a redneck character I came up with based off like Lumpkin County, Georgia. Just, you know, a crazy looking redneck guy. And then they got the, you know, Bernice Big Bottom, who's basically, you know, me and drag playing, you know, kind of like Madea, sort of like a version of Madea, which was, you know, that character. I got a lot of crap for that character years ago, but I thought it was funny. But a lot of people lately, they love the Witchy Poo. I've been doing Witchy Poo, you know, for years, since like, let's say 2009. My mom used to wear that mask years ago. She'd wear that mask and go to school and dress up as a witch and give out candy and had a pot and everything. But like, people love the Witchy Poo character. They'll always ask for Witchy Poo on Instagram, and I do cameo videos, and it's always like Witchy Poo, Witchy Poo, Witchy Poo. Like, I can do other characters, but it's like everybody wants the witch for some reason.
Yeah,
but that's probably my most extreme character, where I have to like, oh, hello, oh my. I have to really, you know, get into it with that one. So that one takes a lot to, you know, do the voice.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it definitely takes a lot. So speaking of these characters, right, because when you first started YouTube, if I remember correctly, you didn't start doing the characters until, like, way later in your YouTube journey. So
much later on.
Yeah, so I'm just curious, like, what made you, was that something you've always wanted to do, was do the characters, or was it just kind of like a natural progression of, you know, like, I'm here now, so I'm just going to do the characters, or how did that all sort itself out?
I had kind of planned it out, but I'm like, I don't know if I want to do these characters or not. These people might think I'm crazy. And then I think one of the first ones I did was like the Halo nerd. And I was like, sitting up there late one night, and I'm like, you know what? I got an idea for a video. Put Halo in the background with, you know, that music going, and go be like, oh my God, you guys, Halo's like the best game I ever played. You know, something like that. And to this day, people still, you know, talk to me about the Halo nerd video. One of my sister's ex-boyfriends, he actually knew the video before he even met me. He's like, oh, yeah, I've seen your brother before online. I saw his Halo Nerd video. I always thought that was funny.
Halo Nerd was a classic. That was your first video that blew up, or what was your first video that blew up?
I think that was like one of my first videos that blew up. It was either that or the one where I stepped on the cockroach on YouTube. I'm like, I got that cockroach right there, squished him. That was a funny one.
Coming back to YouTube, like when you first started doing YouTube and you talked about Mr. Pregnant and stuff like that. So when you first started doing YouTube, was it just like something, because you couldn't get paid for doing YouTube back then when it first started out. So
yeah, I just did it for fun at the beginning. And then like, I think it was like, I want to say late 2008, 2009, they offered me a partnership and, you know, signed up for that and started making videos with the partnership. I only got invited to like one. They used to have like these partner like events where you would meet other people from YouTube. Only got invited to one event though. Never got invited to another one. Didn't get to go to that one though, because my mom was going through cancer at the time. So I was trying to, you know, be there for her and support her. But I don't know if they never had another YouTube gathering or what.
I was gonna ask you that. Did you ever see a paycheck from YouTube, or how did that work? Because I know like you were really popping when it was just for fun.
Yeah, you know, I think they, you know, mailed me one check and everything else was like online after that when they would pay you.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you have to report it to the IRS and everything, your earnings. It was kind of like, you know, self-employed. But, you know, there was one point where it was like years ago, it was like overnight you would make like a lot of money on YouTube. But nowadays, like on YouTube, it is so hard to like get noticed or get your videos out there or anything.
I know. It used to be
like a really big name YouTuber, though. Maybe you'll get, you know, a lot of money.
It used to be so much more of a creator based platform, I would say. Yeah. You know, people, you know, I would say in your vein where you made, you know, characters and you brought them to life and you did that kind of thing, like that, there was more of a niche for that. Whereas now it's kind of like people, you know, do these ranking videos and they talk about certain movies and things, you know, they don't put on a character or a shtick like the Booger Boy Meisters would back in the day. You know, I think that's a lost art that you used to do.
Yeah, I still, you know, try to keep it, you know, kind of like, you know, it was back in the old day. Sometimes I use my old camera. I use my, you know, my cell phone sometimes, even my old webcam. That's what I was, you know, trying to use earlier when we were trying to do the show and here with the video call. So I still use like my old equipment. And it still, you know, works as far as I know.
Yeah, I know that.
Like the old look of stuff.
That's facts. I mean, when we tried doing the video for a little bit, you saw the studio we have set up here. And we were in the process of building a studio, but there is something about our old YouTube videos we made when we were like 13, 14 that had like the autofocus webcam that just kind of lost it. That just has more of a charm than a polished studio. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. And people like that. It's, you know, it stands out.
Yeah, it does stand out. You know, when you were making these videos with these characters, you know, how did you go about making these videos? How much of this was scripted and how much of this is just improv off the cuff behavior from you?
Most of it was just kind of just planned on the spot. There were some of them though that I kind of planned out, but a lot of them I just kind of made it up as I was filming. It's like, if you watch some of my earlier videos, I didn't edit or anything. I did it all in one take.
Yeah. No, for sure. And that, I mean, that was still, you know, back in the day, you lost that kind of griminess and stuff, but there was some, you know, comedic potential there. I mean, you know, you could tell like you had the acting chops, you were funny and things like that. Did you ever do anything in your life like acting or, you know, doing school plays or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. I was in a lot of, you know, school plays and I'd go in there and, you know, I was real quiet in school and then I'd get into character and they were like surprised that was me. So I'd go in there. I remember one time I did like a skit where I was like an Indian cab driver. I'm like, hello, how are you doing today? Would you get in my car? Where do you want to go that day? How are you doing? I hope you're doing well. Stuff like that. And they're like, the teacher was like cracking up. She couldn't hold it together. She's like, I can't believe that was you coming in here and doing mm-hmm. that voice. It's like, didn't look like, you know, the type of person that would do that voice. And I'd just like, you know, get into character and, you know, do voices and, you know, just the teacher kind of pulled me aside one day. She's like, you know, you're really good with these voices. One day you might be an actor or something. I'm like, yeah, that'd be fun to do something like that. I have been in some low budget horror movies, but like, you know, nothing big. And I've done some projects, but they never came out. I don't know what happened, if they, you know, are kind of stuck in development hell or what. But I did some voice work for a cartoon that never came out. It's kind of like, you ever heard of a Happy Tree Friends?
Yeah.
It's very similar to that, where I did, like, you know, some characters from like squirrels and chipmunks and stuff. And it's supposed to be like a crazy kind of like animated show with animals. That never came out. And I've done, I don't know if you ever heard of Terror Toons. I did Terror Toons 3 and 4. I kind of like had a little small appearance in there. Kind of cut my scene down a little bit though. But there's a scene where I'm like in the mental asylum and I'm like screaming in part 4. But I think he just cut it to where I'm just kind of looking around. But yeah. That scream was pretty extreme and my cats were like freaking out.
Yeah.
And I was in a documentary, Sleepless Nights, or talk about the Slumber Party Massacre movies. If you watch that one, I got hair in that one. It was back when I had some hair, 9 or 2010, somewhere in there. Then there was one, the Mayo Conspiracy. It's like, if y'all watch my videos, you know I can't stand mayonnaise. I've hated mayonnaise for years, had like a phobia of it. But they reached out to me and wanted to use like a mayonnaise clip. So if you watch that movie, I think it's on Amazon. I think it's called the Mayo Conspiracy. There's a scene in the movie with me going like, oh God, let land mayonnaise. Oh, something with the mayonnaise in that movie. Cause that was a weird one. Very weird mayonnaise type movie.
That is insane that a Booger Boy Meister, I hate mayonnaise video made it to a mayonnaise documentary.
Yeah. That's, I was not expecting that either, but that's apparently the guy that made that didn't like mayonnaise either. And he wanted to know if he could use some, my mayonnaise videos in there. I'm like, yeah, sure. Well, that was funny.
Yeah, no, that is something that you've been known for, going back to, you know, you saying like low budget, and I'm pretty sure the first time I've even heard the term, you know, low budget was from you. And so, and you've been watching movies for quite some time, so if a movie is low budget, because you see a lot of these, you know, film critics like Rotten Tomatoes and stuff like that, if a movie's low budget, a lot of them will probably just say, oh, this sucks, this isn't good. But yep. in your opinion, if something is going to be low budget, what kind of gives it that sort of charm, I guess, for it to be good, kind of, in your opinion? And
that's kind of like what I watch. I know some people hate the low budgets, but I enjoy them because I feel like they're better than some of these new Hollywood movies. So these new Hollywood movies are kind of like all the same. It's like reboots and remakes and more possession movies, and just like, it's like, it feels like the same thing over and over. And then you have like the low budget movies. Yeah, some of them look like they've, you know, filmed them over a weekend, but at least they're, you know, entertaining, have good special effects, and you know, they're fun to watch. That's what I like about them. Like, they're original, and you know, yeah, some of them kind of suck, but you know, they have charm to them and they're fun to watch. Whereas, you know, like new movies, like, just, you can tell they just put so much CGI and just, I don't know. Some of these new horror movies are just not so hot, I think. I do love the Terrifier 3, though. I think that's, you know, that's a fun low-budget horror movie. And it's got, you know, a really big following.
And then there is one movie in particular. Like, I don't know if I ever heard you talk about this, but it was something that I've been kind of researching over the last few days, but the Blair Witch Project. I don't know if I remember you talking about it on video, and I'm just curious because you probably grew up around the time that movie was released. And so do you remember, like, when the movie was released, like, were there people that actually thought that it was real, and were you one of them, or did that all?
People really thought it was real. And I remember the first time I saw it with my dad, and he didn't like it. He's like, this is the stupidest movie I've ever seen. I hate this movie. He talked kind of like that. And it was like, he kept leaving the theater and coming back. And, you know, I thought they really, you know, died in the movie. And I remember you know, this was back before, you know, there was internet. The only way you could go on the internet was go to the library. Or if you had a friend that had, you know, dial up, you'd go over there and use his computer. Then if the phone rang, you couldn't get on the computer.
Classic.
I looked it up and I was like, I think IMDb had it on there that they had passed away, some of the people in the movie. So it was kind of like confusing to some people. They're like, did these people really die in this movie, or is it just a movie? But they tried to, you know, definitely make it like sound like they really died in real life. even though it's just a movie. Then, of course, you know, they rebooted Blair Witch again. Like, it wasn't too many years ago.
It didn't. I think it was 2016, yeah. And yeah. That one didn't do too good, yeah.
Yeah. And then they did Blair Witch 2 as well, which some people, you know, really like that one better than the first one. I like the first two, though. I think they're both really good. The first one, I think, is definitely creepier.
Yeah, don't let Trey fool you. He was one of the people when we were kids that thought the Blair Witch was real, and we had internet. You know, what are you up to these days? And, you know, what's life like? I know you do post Facebook updates every once in a while. Go like the Booger Boy Meister Facebook page if you haven't already. And, you know, just kind of give the people a little bit of an update. What's going on with yourself?
Well, I still make crazy videos all these years later. Still play some of the characters, and I do a lot of stuff with Leprechaun these days. There wasn't a Leprechaun fan page around anywhere, so I said, you know what, I'll make a Leprechaun fan page. So I do that these days too on the side, and I go by a Leppy Laddie and, you know, promote Leprechaun on there. And, you know, I've been going to horror conventions and stuff, and just, you know, try to keep the Leprechaun spirit alive. And I do cameo videos now for fans and try to make funny videos and, you know, get those out there for people's birthdays and special occasions and stuff. And, you know, stuff like that. And when I'm not doing that, I'm, you know, at home hanging out with my cats or, you know, doing my other stuff on the computer. I'll watch movies and give my opinion on them. I do stuff with Amazon and Warner Brothers, and I just signed up with Lionsgate today, so that was fun. I wasn't expecting that.
It's awesome, man. And what made you want to get back into YouTube? What made you want to come back and do these videos?
Well, my fans, you know, over the years told me how much they love my stuff. And, you know, I love my fans too. And I felt like it was a good time to come back with all, you know, the reboots and everything going on. I'm like, well, you know what? I think I'm going to go back and, you know, see how it goes. Because it's been, you know, a long time. I left in like 2012, and I was still doing, you know, Facebook for, you know, several years. And then 2020, you know, everything was, you know, a bad year for everybody with COVID, and my mom passed away. So I was dealing with a lot of legal stuff, and I was just like, I was kind of off the internet for a while, and a lot of people were worried about me, and they like tracked me down. They thought I was dead, but I wasn't dead or anything. I was just going through a hard time and dealing with a lot of legal stuff. But it took about 2 years to get it all settled. But after that, I said, you know, I'll wait for a good time to go back to YouTube. And I decided last year, and, you know, some people really have enjoyed the videos. I've been doing, you know, some live shows on there, and I did one about a week ago, and I think we were on there for about, seemed like about 4 hours, but we had a good time talking about all kinds of stuff on there, and the fans seem to enjoy it. And just, you know, it's been, you know, fun to go back and, you know, revisit stories and characters and stuff.
Yeah, no, it must be nice to have, you know, a fan base that cares so much that will reach out to you when they kind of notice a change in your pattern. But I have to admit, and you've kind of been going through this, you know, for a while on your YouTube career, even early on, that has to be at least a little bit overwhelming. Have you ever had, you know, any negative experiences with fans, you know, be it in real life for you?
Oh, yeah, I've had, you know, some crazed fans, like, you know, kind of harass me and threaten me and, like, you know, like stalk me online to the point where I almost thought I had to get the police involved. But, you know, luckily they kind of, you know, backed off. But, you know, I wasn't scared of them or anything. It's just like some of these fans are like real persistent. They want to know every little thing about you. And you're like, I've had some of them try to like track me down, and they've even like reached out to people I actually know that I have friends with on Facebook. They'll like contact them to get information on me. It's crazy. I had one guy, I was good friends with him. He's like, yeah, some guy's, you know, trying to get information on you. And he said, he says he knows you. I'm like, who is it? He's like, oh, it's this guy. I'm like, oh no, don't give him my information. It's like, there's some people like that on the internet though. They have no boundaries, and they just like, they just want to know every little thing about you. And they kind of like, you know, crazed stalker fans. But for the most part, people have been really nice. There's only been like a small number of people who've like, you know, stalk me.
Yeah. I mean, it's like what they say. I mean, like John Lennon got killed by one crazed fan.
Yeah.
But he probably had a million other people, and all it takes is that one. So.
Yeah. John Lennon, Booger Boy Meister, same guy. At least us.
Same guy. But, and So I wanted to ask you a little bit. So you came back, it was like around, you know, like you said, 2011. But when you first started doing YouTube, there was a point where you had the cockroach thing, and then you made a farewell video, and then you kind of took off. And, you know, before I kind of get into that, like, when you did make that final farewell video, if you could remember in your mind, what was that the last time you were going to go on YouTube? Or in the back of your mind, was it kind of like, I'm just going to take a break, I'll actually come back, you know, some months later? Or did you think it was kind of final back then? Well,
but at the time, I kind of thought it was final. I'm like, you know, that's kind of it. YouTube, it was at the time where, you know, YouTube was not like it was. It's still not, you know, like it was years ago. And Google took over. It kind of changed everything. But I was like, you know what? I had my fun on here on YouTube. And I said, it's time to move on, do other things. And that was like, you know, back in 2012. And I was pretty much done and everything. And the song I had on there, I don't think they have that song on there anymore. But that song kind of represented the best of times and the worst of times. That song that I put with that video and had kind of like, you know, kind of like flashbacks from, you know, over the years on YouTube. But that was like my final video. Then I had myself killed off by Sweet Tooth.
Yeah, classic.
And then I, you know, showed the hat, you know, with the Bubba teeth and all that. But then, you know, like years later, I said, you know what? I'll go back. Everybody wants me back. We'll do, you know, we'll reboot. Just like, you know, in the horror movies where somebody's, you know, killed off, they bring them back. I said, I'll bring myself back.
Yeah, no question. I think it's a good thing. And I'm actually glad that you came back. And honestly, when I first started watching your videos, I kind of started watching your videos when you were already off and there was like that period. And so by the time I was caught up with everything, you had already left. And then, I don't know, probably like 3 or 4 months later, you came back with another video. And then I was like, oh, he's back. And then I kind of followed you the whole rest of the way there. So going back to the cockroach video. So you upload a video and you made a video and you were very, very upset. You know, you're talking to YouTube and everything. And I just have to ask, was that in essence kind of like the final straw that broke the camel's back? Or do you think had it not been for that particular situation that you would still be making videos, or was it just a combination of everything and that was just kind of the final straw to everything?
It's kind of like, you know, combination of things. I was frustrated with YouTube getting, you know, angry about the cockroach video. And then, you know, I came back like after that. So like they were giving me crap over the cockroach video. And I looked up other cockroach videos on there. Like there was people squishing them. One guy like put one in a microwave and like cooking it. And there was one guy like sprayed it with all this stuff. I'm like, I didn't do all that. It's like, why they give me such a hard time over a little cockroach video?
Yeah. No, you were no stranger to hate. And it's like, you know, I think these days, if you were to post a cockroach video and you did your Indian character, way more people would be beeping with your Indian character than your cockroach video.
Yeah, and it's like, now you have to be careful what you say. People get so offended over, you know, jokes and stuff. It's like, you have to watch what you say. I did a live show last year with Bernice Big Bottom. I was going to dress up as a lady, and I thought I was going to get some crap for that. But honestly, I didn't really get any crap for that.
Yeah, no, surprised. That's a different time. That's a different time, because it's like you didn't get crap for that now, and then that's how I kind of feel with your cockroach video. Like, if you uploaded that now, I don't think you would get any shit.
But, like, years ago when I played, you know, Bernie's, everyone's like, oh, I can't believe he would dress up as a woman and all that. Even one of my friends is like, don't you ever come to my house dress up as a woman. Like, oh, it's your birthday. I'm going to show up at the door and say, happy birthday, honey chow. So then I'm going to dress up as Bernie's. So I'm going to come to your door with a cake. He's like, you better not, I'll shoot you. It was funny.
So going back to that situation just real quick, so when you look at it, and I don't know if you have the answers now or if it's just pure speculation, but do you think that it was just YouTube that they kind of had it out for you, and that's kind of why they reported the video? Or do you think it was like,
I definitely feel like at the time they were giving me crap like over anything, like back in the day, whether it be gameplay videos or Melvin videos or like a cockroach video, they always seem to like get me for something. I feel like somebody at YouTube didn't like me and worked there, and he's like, oh, I'm gonna do everything I can to, you know, get him off here and, you know, kick him off or something. So yeah. I was like, there was a Melvin video I did one time where he was like complaining about milk in the refrigerator. He's like, oh, there's no milk, buddy, where's the milk? was like, that video got flagged for sexual content. I'm like, what the hell is sexual about Melvin getting milk out of the refrigerator? And I had to peel that video, I don't know how many times with YouTube. And then they finally, they were so hard to get a hold of. And then they finally like, yeah, we don't see anything wrong with the video. So why did it get flagged for sexual content? They're like, we don't know either.
Yeah.
Like, it was really bizarre.
You know, speaking of big businesses that had it out for you, do you think Microsoft had it out for you? Because by your videos, I feel like they definitely did.
Oh, yeah. I think they were fed up with me near the end there. I had to send in that 360, like, I think it was like 14 times altogether. And when I called them up, they always sound like they were frustrated when they had to deal with me at the customer service center. They even did that joke song about 360.
When you called in ever, did you ever throw on the redneck accent just to let them know this is who you're fucking with? Make sure you know. Yeah.
There was a few times where I called in and I said, it's me again calling about the damn 460. Something I said.
That used to be a vocal freaking, that's like a TikTok trend where they say a vocal stem or whatever. I used to just say my damn 360. I used to just say that shit all the time.
Yeah, somebody sent me some picture from some website and it said kids won't remember the struggle. It had like a picture of, you know, the three red lights and like, you know, in my living room. I'm like, oh, that's my old video where I was like yelling at my 360.
That is. Yeah. I can find that meme. That meme is going everywhere. I thought that was yours. That's like a really popular one.
It was like the 360 with a twisted metal faceplate, a sweet tooth. That was mine. I still got that one too.
I thought it was so funny when all that stuff would happen because, like, even after the third one, I was like, Jesus, man, just switch to PlayStation or, like, just give up. I can't believe the persistence on this man.
So the reason that you've been sticking with Microsoft this whole time is out of loyalty, right? Because, like, when you invest in a product, you're kind of loyal to the brand and everything. Is that why you kept sticking around?
Yeah, I invested, you know, in the original Xbox and so many games and, you know, so much time and the customer service and everything. I'm like, you know what? I don't want to have to, you know, start all over again. And I had games, you know, that I bought for it and didn't want to have to rebuy them. I'm the same way with, like, I don't know if you have Comcast where you're at, Xfinity. They're like a cable company.
Yeah.
Everyone's telling me, oh, you need to get rid of them. But I've invested so much time with them and I've, you know, set up my cable lines in my attic and everything. And I know the layout of the wires and everything. And I'm like, I don't want to have to deal with someone else.
That's the most redneck shit I've ever heard in my life. I've never heard any cable lines get mentioned in forever.
Yeah, I had to set up my own cable lines. The lady came out. She's like, she didn't know how to set it up. I'm like, are you kidding me? You don't know how to wire the cable and you're the cable lady? She's like, yeah, can you help me out here? So I was like drilling holes in, you know, the attic and, you know, at first I said, well, why don't we go under the house and do it? Oh, that's too much trouble. We'll just run it through the attic. I'm like, that's going to be, you know, messy. So I had to like drill up into the attic and, you know, run it from, you know, all the way outside to the living room. It was like, it was crazy install. It would have been so much easier crawling under the house, but they didn't want to do it that way. So I was like, okay, we'll do it like this.
So it was 14 total times that you sent your Xbox in.
Yep, 14 times, believe it or not. I still have the original. The last time I sent it in was, I believe it was 2009.
I remember when, because you talk about the Red Ring all the time, and I remember I used to think it was a myth. I used to think those videos, out of all the stuff that you did with the characters and all that stuff that was staged, I thought of all the stage videos you had, it was all the times that you had beef with Microsoft. I was like, there's no way this guy's getting fucked this many times.
Yeah, I was definitely frustrated with them because there were times they'd send me back the same 360 like over and over. Like they didn't even fix it. Sometimes it came back and it sounded worse.
You talk about videos made today. If you made that like those Microsoft videos today, Microsoft would send you a care package. They'd send you a second Xbox. They'd comment on your video. They'd give you so much stuff.
Yeah, from what I remember, you know, back then, I think they sent me like one or two games for free. And like a letter one time saying, we're so sorry for all your trouble. And they gave me like a lifetime warranty and said, if I ever had a problem, just, you know, call them up and they, you know, send me another one.
They sent you a lifetime warranty because they're like, you're going to fucking need it.
Yeah.
I don't think they even fix 360s anymore. I think that's pretty much, you know, they're done with that now, I think.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, I mean, shit, you try to get in contact with any like company like Microsoft, Xbox, you can't call them directly anymore. You have to go through the entire AI process, and yeah, you have to wait like 30 minutes and stuff, which, and it sounds like when you did finally, because you finally had enough at one point, you bought a PS3, and you know, from what I remember, it seemed like the PS3 was even giving you problems at some point. So it's like, you can't catch a break anyway.
Yeah. I had the fat, you know, PS3, and it was freezing and, you know, like locking up and stuff. And it kept, I think it got like the yellow light of death one time. Then one time the hard drive went out and lost everything on it. And I was pissed that time, like three of those.
Switching back to kind of, you know, who you are as a person, you know, I was kind of always curious to know who this guy was outside of YouTube when you were making YouTube videos back in your prime in 08, 09, around there. What were you doing outside of YouTube back then?
Well, I was helping my mom out, and I worked for a lawyer friend at the time. I worked in her office helping her out doing like computer work and stuff. Then she retired, I guess it was in 2020 during COVID. Mm-hmm. And my mom would do weddings, and I'd, you know, help her out with that. She did the wedding invitations. She had really good handwriting. She was like, I don't know if you've seen like calligraphy. Like it almost looked like a computer would print it, like real cursive. She was really good at that. She did a bunch of, you know, weddings and stuff. And I was kind of like her assistant in a way. And I would help her with that.
We talked a lot about the characters that you kind of brought to life in the Booger universe. But I mean, your mom and even your cats played a huge part in your YouTube channel. As somebody who's also had YouTube videos with friends who have passed away, and, you know, fallen animals and things like that. How cool is it to kind of have those videos live on your channel forever that you can go back and watch? Yeah,
I'm so glad, you know, I got those, you know, videos and memories there. Because my mom was really funny, too. Some of the things she would say, and people loved her. And we called her, like, they called her Big Mom on there as a joke. And they enjoyed, you know, all the cat videos. And had some really funny cat videos when I look back. And sadly, all my older cats have passed away over the years, but I do have four cats at the moment. We adopted two cats in 2019, and then last year on a whim, I adopted two more cats. So got two boys and two girls.
I'm a big cat dad myself. I got two cats. And I remember that was your cats were kind of what made you, were kind of your first videos, right? Your cat videos.
Yeah, they were, you know, Maddie the cat, he was really funny, kind of Siamese looking cat. He only had like one kidney and he was inbred. So he was kind of like, he was a funny cat. Yeah. I was there the day he was born. I remember the little kid in my neighborhood is like, oh, mama, he dead. He dead, mama. I said, he's not dead. He just came out of his mom. I said, give him a minute.
I will say, though, Booger, I think I have to give you props because I think that you're probably one of the first people to really get on Netflix. I almost think you should have probably had like a stock in Netflix because you were kind of boosting them up back when they weren't even like as big. And now they're like one of the biggest companies in the world. But you've been on Netflix for like a long time, like supporting them and telling them, oh yeah, they're good. They're great service and everything like that.
Yeah, they had a really good DVD service back in the day too. And, you know, I subscribed to that for, you know, many years till like right before, I think it was COVID. They were getting where they were kind of real slow sending the movies out. So I'm like, you know what? I hate to say it. I'm going to have to cancel. And it was taking like 2 weeks to get a movie from like Duluth, Georgia, which is not too far from me, like not even 20 minutes away. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to let you go. Then like, I think it was shortly after that, they stopped doing the DVD service in the mail. So now it's just like streaming only, but like Blockbuster back in the day, they tried to have like their own like online service with like the DVD rentals. That was never good in my experience. They always sent the wrong movie, or, you know, one time they asked for a Big Mama's House too, and they sent me When a Stranger Calls. I'm like, how do you screw that up?
No question. And then what about, because I know a similar service, and it might still be around actually, but Gamefly, did you ever get into Gamefly at all back in the day?
I think I tried it one time, but I didn't get the game. So my free trial was like literally over that day. And then I canceled. So I only got to play it for like one day and I returned it because it was so slow. I think it came from like another state though. So it took a while to get in the mail.
And so when you look back on like your YouTube career and everything, and You know, when someone goes back and looks at, okay, but this is Booger Boy Meister. You know, what do you hope to be known for more? Do you want to be known as the guy that's more involved in characters, or, you know, the kind of guy that's like, okay, this is for nostalgic, like the whole collection videos and everything, or just a combination of it all?
I guess just kind of like a combination of it all. Because I know people like the characters and they like the, you know, the video skits and stuff, because I've done like a bunch of random stuff. I even did some kind of like Angry Grandpa inspired, where I'd get like mad and like yell about brownies or Pepsis or something. I know I did a couple of those where I was like, who drank my damn Pepsi? You son of a gun, you drank my damn Pepsi.
I got one more question before we kind of wrap it up, but I think one of the most funniest video that I've seen from you, and I don't even know if you remember this one, but it was a video you were talking about your grandfather. And you know, you were saying that he was mean. And one of the lines that always stuck out with me was, oh, yeah, he's a mean guy. He steals nuts from squirrels. Like, how do you even, like, how does that even work? Like, how do you steal nuts from squirrels?
I'll tell you the story about that. My grandfather, he looked like an evil Santa Claus. And he was a mean guy. His name was Jack. He didn't even like you to even call him Grandpa. It's like, call me Jack. So I would always call him Jack. And he would take squirrel nuts from outside, and even like little sticks, and he'd break them up in little pieces and put them in boxes in his house. And he had like hundreds of boxes, and he had them stacked to the ceiling. And it was like he was obsessed with, you know, taking nuts and sticks away from the animals outside. And it's like he was a big time hoarder. He was a very bizarre guy. He had about 30 guns too. Two of them were sawed off shotguns. We had to surrender to the police. And he had marijuana seeds in his basement. It was like, he hid some diamonds in that house. We never did find them, but there's still some diamonds hidden in that house somewhere in the wall. But I guess somebody will eventually find them.
Before we get to the closing segment of the show, Booger, you know, what do you, what's kind of up on the docket for Booger Boy Meister? You know, what are you doing? What kind of content are you making? How can people find you? And what can people kind of look forward to as you kind of enter back into the world of content making?
Well, you can find me on Facebook and Instagram, YouTube, and Cameo. I also go by Leppy Laddie. I have a Leprechaun fan page on there. I'm doing a giveaway right now for Warwick Davis Leprechaun autograph, and we're going to announce the winner in early June. And I do skits on there and, you know, funny videos. And I still, you know, I've been doing a lot of YouTube live shows. So people enjoy those. I'm trying to do some more of those for the fans on there. And we'll do some more character skits and, you know, just, you know, talk about anything in general and, you know, some more funny videos and just, you know, try to keep people entertained. And, you know, I appreciate the support all these years. And thanks for watching.
It's nice that we got to hear some more in-depth stuff on what makes Booger Booger. But, Boog, you are here now for the best part of the show. This is the Treyisms. And what Treyisms are is a form of Rickyisms from the show Trailer Park Boys. Have you ever seen Trailer Park Boys?
Oh, yeah, I've seen that show before. It's pretty damn funny. I like Bubbles.
So basically what a Treyism is Trey takes a spin on a famous idiom, and he changes it to something completely ridiculous and wrong. So, Trey, give him an example.
All right, so a good example of a Treyism is, you know, you're doing all this stuff on Facebook and YouTube and stuff, but what I always say is don't hit all your eggs with just one tennis racket.
Instead of don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
He's an aspiring comedian. He's he's writing new Treyisms every week, and we test him out with the guest every week to see if he can make him laugh. Booger, be a good audience member. If he flops, make sure you don't give him any kind of response. Be a good man.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Trey, the floor is yours.
All right, so Treib, Booger is probably our best guest on here. I would have to rest my leg on that set of case.
Nah. Boo, he's getting...
Lake on that? Are you a lake buddy? Oh, my God. I mean, I'm swimming in the lake.
This is
oh,
good.
My God.
This is good. It's good Booger's here because if you flop that he's gonna carry your ass. He's gonna
carry you down Stone Mountain, buddy.
All right, what's the second one?
All right. I agree with you, but just to play devil's tennis racket.
Devil's tennis racket. Devil, the devil's tennis racket. Holy shit. You're going to play devil with the tennis racket? You're going to be hot out there on that court, I'll tell you that.
I like it.
You're going to be hot out there.
You are obsessed with words that sound like a tennis racket, but I did like that. That wasn't bad.
All right.
What do you got?
Yeah, I'm glad to be able to talk to Booger. It was actually part of my fuck it list.
Fuck it list? One. Oh, shit. Your bucket list instead, you got a bucket list. Well, damn.
Hey, Booger's lucky we don't live closer to Georgia. Otherwise, he'd be one of those crazy fans.
Yeah, oh, right. Lord. Am I going to order in to call the popo? Just kidding.
Go ahead, Trey.
Yeah. So yeah, Trey, we've been doing all this grind with shout out to you, by the way. You've definitely been putting in the work and putting everything in, but I think it's time to taste the fruits of our flavor.
Fruits of the loom.
Fruits of the loom.
Yeah. All right. So We just need to take a second, right? We need to reanalyze something. But sometimes in life, you have to throw the entire kitchen and think.
There we go.
That was a good one.
Right.
You know, Treve, I would have to agree with you on that. But sometimes you got to call a lake instead of spade to spade.
What's with you and bodies of water?
Bodies of water.
Black foul water, doesn't it?
He's been drinking Pepsi, Bug. What do you think of that?
That's my kind of guy right there, Pepsi.
Yeah. I forgot he couldn't see it.
Yeah. He was pointing at it and it like he could see what we're doing.
I know.
But yeah, man, with this, you know, we're catching lightning on my knuckles.
Catching the lightning on the knuckles.
Yeah.
You can't see it, Booger. I forgot the camera wasn't on for like 5 seconds, but I booed him for that one.
Yeah. All right, we got two more. Try to bring it home. Are you looking at him? Are you,
what?
You're no. Spoiling it.
No, I'm
okay.
Not
looking at him. Okay.
Try to bring it home.
I'll bring it home, but when something is going on, you know what they say, when there's smoke, there's tires.
You're smoking, huh? Yeah. You're smoking, all right. Smoking tires, buddy.
Tires, Trey. All right. Bring it on, all Trey. Right. The grand finale.
Grand finale. The news is going to spread like peanut butter.
Like peanut butter and jelly, buddy, all over the
place. Oh, my God. Booger, thank you for being such a good sport and for being there. I think this was one of Trey's most nervous ones since you're his favorite YouTuber.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, thank you guys for having me on. I enjoyed being on here.
Yeah, I appreciate you.
For sure, man. We're gonna have to get you on here with the camera and maybe one day me and Trey will hop in one of your lives or something like that. We can do a couple more collabs or something.
Oh yeah, we'll definitely have to do something like that. Thanks guys for having me on tonight.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Hell yeah. Thank you guys again for tuning in to another episode of the Trey and Treve Show. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Check out all the links down below. Follow us on TikTok. We're doing pretty well on TikTok. Do you want to hear how Trey tried to be a receiver but failed in short form and you don't want to listen to the whole podcast? Go to TikTok. You want to know how Trey wipes his ass, Booger? Go to the Trey and Treve clips on TikTok. Everybody go to the TikTok. Everybody check all the links down below. And thank you guys so much for tuning in. And I hope you guys have a great rest of your day.
See ya, buddy.